It's time for Batter Up, the definitive Atlanta Braves podcast with hosts Joe Patrick and Caleb Johnson, giving you exclusive insight into our Braves from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Joe and Caleb.
Welcome into Batter Up. Caleb Johnson here with my co-host Joe Patrick. Joe, we're here on... I'm going to be completely honest. This is a really strange day. It's an uncomfortable feeling. It's a moment I never wanted to see happen. And yet we're also supposed to be excited all at the same time. Of course, the news coming down that the Braves have traded for Matt Olson from the Oakland A's. We'll get into what they got in return. But first things first, just want to turn it over to you, Joe, and just kind of get your initial reaction to the news that essentially solidifies the fact that Freddie Freeman is not coming back as an Atlanta Brave.
It's shocking. Caleb, I'm going to be honest. You know, there's been a lot of speculation as to what was going to happen, what was going to be the resolution to this situation. And I'm going to be honest, I thought the Braves were going to bring Freddie Freeman back. I mean, to me, it just seemed like the simplest solution, the easiest solution, the solution that would be good for the team on and off the field. I think there are still some benefits to this move that happened on the field, and we're sure going to dig into that, but it is a jarring day. I mean, I think that everybody is just wrapped up in all the bittersweet emotions of something like this, where you're getting in a good player, but, you know, Freddie Freeman has been part of this organization since he was drafted in the second round of the draft in 2007. You know, like, think about where you were in 2007. I know where I was. I was a different person.
I was in seventh grade, Joe. You want to feel old? I was in seventh grade.
There's plenty of Braves fans who their whole life they've only known Freddie Freeman manning first base, and so it's going to be, it's going to be a major change. And you hate to say it, but I mean that is something that Matt Olson is going to have to overcome to an extent. Is just all the expectations and everything that Freddie Freeman was to the Braves is now going to be kind of thrown on the shoulders of Matt Olson, whether, you know, for better or for worse. And he's got to be able to handle that. But it certainly is just a jarring day for Braves fans everywhere.
You point out the fact that there's going to be a lot on Matt Olson's shoulders. There's been a couple of things that you and I have been able to watch before we went to record this podcast. One of them being the fact that media in Oakland was able to talk to Matt, ask him about the trade, kind of see what he thought. I guess they weren't in Oakland. They were probably in Arizona, right?
Yeah.
And you could see a look of, I would call it, dejection on his face, because he, like Freddie, is a guy who has spent his entire career with the Oakland A's organization. He's made friends. He's made relationships. He has come up in, let's be honest, an organization that there aren't high expectations placed on him, placed on that team. It's been a moment of where Braves fans can certainly understand a few years ago of like, you're just excited for whatever, you know, you get a win, yay, go team kind of thing. That's where Matt Olson's been playing for. He has now been catapulted into an organization that just won a World Series that has a lot of expectations. By not signing Freddie Freeman, and that's, look, this is the conclusion that we have to come to at this point. By the time we release this podcast, we might know where Freddie's gone. We don't know yet. But we did hear from GM Alex Anthopoulos, who...
Oh, man.
I was ready to come on here and rip him, Joe. I'll be quite honest with you, because... And here's the thing that I was going to say probably in a lot meaner terms, but that with this being Alex Anthopoulos' first trade, this is the most tone-deaf move he's made in his time spent with the organization. It is absolutely the most tone-deaf move he could make at this time when you've reached a height of fandom for Atlanta Braves, you know, for the Atlanta Braves. And you have a guy who you could just have paid him his money However, there's clearly something going on that we don't know about. I don't know if this was a head over heart move where Alex Anthopoulos just, it made too much sense to go in a younger direction, in a direction for the future and the present, or if this was a money move. I don't know what it is. It's just one of those. It feels icky.
Yeah.
And I hate it for Matt Olson, who this is a lot of pressure to walk into an organization on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that Alex Anthopoulos interview, man, I don't know if I've seen anything like it or I can remember something like it, where he was pretty much in tears. Like, I mean, he very much choked up when asked about the deal, and frankly said that it was personal for him in that he loves Freddie Freeman, like as a person, as I think everyone does. And it's just as hard for him to do this kind of move as it is for a lot of fans to hear about it. You know, I think it is a ruthless move to some extent. You know, you were talking, is it head over heart? I mean, I think it absolutely is. And I think that there are reasons why, and we'll dig into them as to why this move makes sense for the Braves. First of all, let's actually just kind of talk about, I'm sure everybody and their mother knows what the deal actually is, but the Braves receive Matt Olson from the A's, and the A's will receive basically a ton of the Braves' best prospects, including their number one prospect, Christian Pache, their number three prospect, Shea Langeliers, and starting pitchers Joey Estes and Ryan Cusick, who are both in the top 14 in their pipeline. So it's certainly, you know, a big shift in prospects to give up. But they didn't have to give up any, you know, you say starters. Technically, Christian Pache would be slotted in as it currently stands in that starting lineup, I would say, but I don't think anybody was really counting on him to be a starter this year. And I think that it kind of makes sense to be able to ship him out considering where he is and where the Braves are and their current trajectories. And that it's just going to be, it was always going to be tough to put a player like him, to slide him into a team that's competing for a world championship. But man, I mean, it's certainly a deal that first of all, let's talk about it. First of all, you get younger at first base. You know, Matt Olson is 27 years old. He'll be 28 in 2 weeks, so we can call him 28. Freddie Freeman's 32, so you get 4 years younger. You get 2 years of team control with Matt Olson, as opposed to, obviously, you were going to have to do a big contract for Freddie Freeman. Now, I think that the Braves could, within a year, sign Matt Olson to a long-term extension and make this thing.
I think they'll have to.
They'll definitely sign him. Yeah, like lock him up long-term. But that could come very soon, you know, like they won't necessarily wait around for that. But regardless, they are saving money. If they do decide to wait to do a contract extension with him, they'll obviously save more money in the short term, and it'll be more, you know, costly on the long-term in terms of that extension. But overall, at the plate, you know, the hitters profile similarly. So if you got two hitting profiles that profile similarly, but one of them's 28 and kind of coming into his prime, and the other is Freddie Freeman going out of his prime. I mean, I think that, you know, statistically, you're making you're giving a higher projection over the next 4 or 5 years to Matt Olson to outperform Freddie Freeman. And certainly if that doesn't happen, then there's going to be a ton of blowback on Alex Anthopoulos, considering how big of a figure Freddie Freeman is in this organization. But I mean, I think that what I just covered there kind of goes to show the thinking behind what Alex Anthopoulos was going through in terms of, you know, figuring out what is the best course for the Braves. And one other thing to mention that he said in that interview was that he said the payroll's going up, which, I mean, it, you know, certainly a move like this, when you don't re-sign the cornerstone piece of your franchise coming off a World Series, it certainly, like, seems like they didn't want to spend money. But you know, he says the payroll's going up, so I think we can say we can surely say that they're going to be going in for some more free agents here probably really, really soon, maybe even while we're recording, so we'll keep you posted.
Sure. There's also an additional aspect of Matt Olson, which is he's an Atlanta native. Mm-hmm. I know this is going to be used a lot in promotions probably real soon. He is, and that's, you threw out the fact he's 27 years old. Joe, I looked it up, and he's a month older than me, which makes me feel really strange. It also made me feel really eerie at the fact that he went to Parkview High School, and I was a terrible baseball player that stopped playing after my freshman year. And my freshman year, my high school played at Parkview, because I remember it was super nice. And I was like, oh, wow, like this is where Jeff Francoeur played.
Yeah,
you know, like that's what it was meaningful to me for. And now I'm like, you know what? He was probably too good to play on the Parkview High School freshman baseball team. He probably immediately was playing on JV. But, you know, maybe my claim to fame will be I played on the same field as Matt Olson. Well, I probably didn't get on the field anyways. but, you know, it's this idea that they're going to pitch him as an Atlanta guy, you know, guy coming home. I'm gonna be honest with you, Joe, that I don't care much about that. And I don't think a lot of Atlanta fans are gonna care either. We have our hometown guy, in Dansby Swanson. Like he's the hometown kid that was traded for, that was looked at as that kind of way. We adopted Freddie Freeman as a hometown kid. Like that was, I mean, he is one that grew up in front of our eyes, and so. I'm sure if you were to poll Braves fans and go, oh, well, you know, would you want the hometown kid coming home playing for his home, you know, franchise kind of thing? And you're like, nah, like I'm cool off that kind of thing. But that is a part that's going to be pitched to us is that Matt Olson gets to come home, even though, like we said, he's a guy who's spent his entire time with the Oakland A's organization. And so this is, it's just so much to take in.
I was gonna say, I've got like friends who are analytically inclined and they're going to have a much different perspective on this trade than like, for instance, my mom, you know, like who like love Freddie Freeman. And, you know, obviously Alex Anthopoulos has to do what he thinks is going to result in the most Braves wins over the next, you know, X amount of years or whatever. So that's his calculus. It's not this calculus that my mom would have, or, you know, even, you know, parts of like myself. Like I love Freddie Freeman as a player and just, you know, as a media member, honestly, to hear him speak. He spoke so eloquently about the team, really gave good insight. And we obviously learned late last year how much Brian Snicker really relied on him as somebody he could go to and talk to as the manager of the team. So, and even Christian Pache was tweeting earlier today about, you know, how good of a guy Freddie Freeman is. And, Ron Acuña also spoke about him, saying how big he's been for the organization. So it's really hard. I think it's going to be hard for this organization to lose a player of this stature. Obviously, for as much as he is on the field, just off the field, how representative he is of the Braves is, I don't think you can really overstate it. So it's just going to be really difficult. And that's why, again, I kind of fear for Mr. Olson that he's going to have so much of this expectation lumped on him because of the person that Freddie Freeman was. But, you know, it's something that everybody's going to have to try to deal with. It's I'm still dealing with it. We learned about this trade like, you know, an hour ago or less, and we're still trying to kind of dig through our own emotional responses to it.
Well, because you touched on something there, the fact that in our last podcast that we had to kind of kick off this season, we talked about the kind of leader that Freddie Freeman is, the fact that you're right, he is that guy between Brian Snicker and the clubhouse. The guys love him. We talked about the fact that we just watched Alex Anthopoulos give a press conference in which, you know, he essentially teared up giving the news. I just can't imagine what that clubhouse feels like right now. All of those guys came yesterday and got in front of microphones and said, you know, we're refreshing Twitter just like everybody else, trying to find out, you know, if Freddie's going to come back. Guys got up at the World Series celebration ceremony and spoke to the fact of, we want Freddie back, you know, and the fact that it's seemingly not happening has got to be, it's got to hurt.
Man, and yeah, I didn't even
I'm concerned. Well, here's the thing, Joe, I'm concerned. This is the type of move when you have a short spring training and kicking off the season in this fashion after just having the labor, you know, negotiations and the big fight that it took just to get baseball back on the field. You wanna talk about hangover and what this does to this team to start the season? Absolutely. If you tell me that the Braves get off to a super cold start, I'm going to be the least surprised person out there, because this is the exact kind of thing that causes that to happen. When you have this big presence in your locker room, move on to somewhere else and let it be the daggum Dodgers. Let it be the Dodgers. I'm going to lose my ever-loving mind.
I know.
I promise you, Joe.
That's the thing, is we've only kind of experienced half of the pain so far,
yeah,
of the Freddie Freeman deal. The second half and the harder half to handle will be when we see him in a picture in some other team's uniform, you know, when we see him go out on the field, when we see him in all their promotions, because whoever signs him, he's going to be the star. That's going to be, I think, equally as painful for all of us. Just
let
seeing
it be
that
the Dodgers. Let it be the Dodgers and Bill Plaschke getting to write about Freddie Freeman, and I just, like, hair is standing on the back of my neck right now just thinking about it.
You know, there are reports actually that the Yankees could still be involved, even though they just traded for Josh Donaldson, who they'll pay $25 million for 2 years, the next 2 years. There's also reports that the Rays are still actually legitimate contenders, and that the Dodgers are not. Necessarily, it's not a foregone conclusion that it is the Dodgers, though he has been kind of obviously heavily linked to them. But man, it's tough. And then there's also, I'm just kind of scrolling Twitter and I haven't been able to find the initial report, but I see Corey McCartney has tweeted that there was a report that Freddie Freeman was unaware that the Braves had made the Olsen deal. Which, I mean, it's pretty clear that he's out of the plans after hearing from Alex Anthopoulos. But, you know, Alex Anthopoulos said that this all came together today, pretty much, that they kind of made the decision last night and they move forward today with the new plan.
Well, and the other thing is, in its fairness, we kept hearing that this was Freddie Freeman's decision. You know, everybody that was saying, sure, you know, the Braves, oh, you got to bring back Freddie, you got to bring back Freddie. No. You reached a point where Freddie had to decide, I want to come back to Atlanta and, you know, take whatever deal essentially that they gave him. So this is his decision too, of, I don't know if we'll hear from him and he'll go, I was completely blindsided that we didn't work something out, or if he'll go, you know what, I decided the best thing for me is to go to LA or to go to New York or whatever it is. I'm really curious to be able to hear from him to see what he's going to say. I know there's going to be tears with that too. It's just,
You know what? Something I wonder that plays into this is, like, if he goes to LA, that's like, there's like substantially higher taxes to pay in California than there would be like in Florida. And if he goes to Tampa where there's no state taxes. So like, does that mean, I assume it does mean that LA, the Dodgers would have to like pay more, like give him a bigger contract because a bigger portion of that, or a smaller portion of that is actually like the take home, the quote unquote take home pay that he would get in LA versus Tampa.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was like, I mean, it was a substantial amount of money that I saw thrown around the other day that he would have to get paid more to equal out the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I'd really have a hard time seeing him go to the Rays. I know they were in the World Series a couple years ago. That just doesn't sound like a franchise that you, as a free agent, you get traded to Tampa, you go, all right, cool, I'm going to make the most of this.
Right.
I just can't imagine him signing as a free agent. His wife's from Florida. However, if you keep up with Chelsea Freeman, and golly, this makes me think Charlie's not going to be a part of.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. Anyways, like I was saying, Chelsea Freeman has clearly embraced the high-profile status life.
Yes.
You know, she's got her clothing line and all that stuff that would, I'm sure, greatly benefit from being out in California, or I guess shoot, New York as much too. I keep thinking that I was like, you know what, that this is what's going to end up happening. It's going to hurt that much more. The knife's going to turn just one little more dig. I don't know. I just. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, let's dig into like where this leaves the Braves right now. So, again, they get rid of Christian Pache, who was kind of penciled in as the number one center fielder right now, though we know that this outfield already, as it was, you know, just even before this trade, this outfield and this roster is not fully compiled. So they were always going to go after an outfielder, but this really does now leave the outfield, they're in dire need, essentially, of at least two outfielders. And Alex Anthopoulos
that
did
sound familiar.
Alex Anthopoulos, you're right, exactly. Alex Anthopoulos did say that the payroll will be going up. I mean, he said that literally today when he was talking about the Freddie Freeman news, or the Matt Olson news, I guess I should say is what he was actually speaking towards. So there were some rumors over the weekend that the Braves were not involved in discussions for Jorge Soler, but I think that with this news, there's been increased. I think the reports were already coming out that the Braves were actually talking to Soler, and it would make sense that over the weekend they weren't, and now they are, because, you know, Alex Anthopoulos said that this is coming together like right now. So I'm sure they wanted to sort out what they were going to do with this first base situation before they got too involved in discussions for other positions. But I am now probably higher on Jorge Soler coming back to the Braves. I always thought he was going to come back, but then I got kind of, you know, my stock kind of went down this weekend when there was so much baseball news flowing out and none of the reports included the Braves that were with regards to the Soler talk. So I think that Soler might come back, but even then you got to replace guys like Eddie Rosario and Jock Peterson, who are huge contributors for this team down the stretch.
Yeah, see, Joe, my initial thoughts are, like, do you really go after Jorge Soler that hard? Because I feel like you're going to be in a market that a lot of teams now need that DH. And I mean, don't you kind of have that with Marcell Ozuna? I mean, mm-hmm. You planning to put Marcell Ozuna or I guess I'd feel more comfortable with Jorge Soler out in left field. But are you comfortable with either one of those guys being out in the field? I thought the whole point was, you know, like, so are you more inclined to bring back an Eddie Rosario, who showed some promise, especially at the end of the year, and is, I think, a more viable option in the field? I don't know.
So right now, the Braves basically have Marcell Ozuna and Adam Duvall as their two outfielders. And you've got Ronald Acuna, of course, but
who's coming back? Yeah,
he's coming back. Alex Anthopoulos said in his press conference today that he's likely not going to be able to play in the field until May. It does sound that he did not discount that he might be able to be a DH to open the season, which okay. I think might be the case. So I think that in that case, you're probably just looking at whoever your DH is going to be is going to just replace Acuna in the outfield for the first 6 weeks of the season or a month or however long it takes before he can play out there. And then I think that, you know, the plan has been to slot Acuna in right field. So you've got Acuna in right field. I think right now you would play Adam Duvall in center field, and then in left field you would play Marcell Ozuna, and then whoever you sign as DH, if it's Jorge Soler, you would play him. Maybe if you could go out and sign a more defensive center outfielder and put Marcell Ozuna in the DH slot. But regardless, they're going to need a couple. Sorry, I'm just keeping my eye on my Twitter feed, scrolling to see when there's other news coming down the pike. Because I really think that we could start to see signings happen for the Braves as soon as this afternoon, if not definitely tomorrow. So, man, it's just a big day. A lot to react to. We don't have to make this long because, I mean, we're just kind of just giving our raw feelings about what's going on.
The other part of this that And yeah, I know I'm kind of belaboring and going on and kind of being the woe is me part of this. However, you know, this kind of bails out Joe Buck for that stupid call in game six.
I know. Yeah, I know.
Like,
now they will actually play that clip. It's like, ugh.
Like, that was one of the dumbest decisions you could make. And on the
what
one hand,
what did he know, and when did he know it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's one of those, like, I mean, if you know, depending on how you feel, you won't have to hear Joe Buck make a World Series call again. He's off to ESPN. So
right, seriously.
He won't be calling the World Series. You won't have to hear. It was just the fact of in that moment, you know, and I think about it now and I'm like, just the fact that he gets to be right about that is annoying. I'm in my feelings just because I think, Joe, and I'm probably not alone on this, I never for a second truly allowed myself to think of being in this position. Every person that I talked to, I went, guys, calm down. All right, chill out. It's fine. He's coming back. They're going to make this work because they would never trade a bunch of prospects for a player when they could just pay somebody to play the same position. I was completely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's happened.
I know.
We are here. We are in a new era of Braves baseball where you're right. A lot of decisions are going to have to be made over these next couple of days. We're going to do our best to keep you updated on them. I think, as far as I know right now, that we'll come back next Monday.
Yep.
To give you another podcast.
At that point, we'll have a great idea of what this team's actually going to look like. Again, this is the first domino to fall in what is certainly to be a chain reaction for the Braves. They're certain to go on from this and make a bunch more signings. So it will be interesting to reconvene next week and just see what this roster is looking like and kind of project going forward. So,
all right,
man, lot to deal with here.
Yeah, so, Braves fans, hunker in. This is, like I said, this is the new era of Braves baseball. It's going to take, cry it out, do whatever you need to do. Before we hopped onto this podcast, I told Joe I had to go grab a shower. Part of that was just collecting my thoughts, man, it's rough.
Sobbing in the shower. That's pretty much what I was doing.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not. What's his name from Arrested Development? Who's wearing his jean shorts in the shower, crying. No, I'm not quite there. But it's weird. We should be excited today. We have a new first baseman, a promising future for this franchise, and yet because of the circumstances, we don't quite get to enjoy it like hopefully we will in the future when Matt Olson is a big part of why this team is winning another World Series.
Yeah, I mean, and let's reinforce that Matt Olson is a really, really good player. Just to kind of go really quickly, I know we're getting out of here, but the Braves did mention in their press release that Olson has hit 142 homers through his first 575 career games. That's the 10th most in Major League history. 118 homers since 2018 are tied for the fourth most in baseball. So, and he won a Gold Glove at first base in 2018 and 2019. So, certainly, you know, he's a huge slugging, great fielding, left-handed hitting first baseman, which is what's been here for a long time, but it's just going to have a different feeling about it. I feel bad for the Braves marketing team that's going to have a lot of work to do taking Freddie Freeman off of all sorts of different marketing materials. That's not a fun job.
Joe, I just framed this the other day, my World Series AJC
there
paper.
He is.
And who's there in that corner? Yeah, that's Freddie Freeman over there. Yeah, I would agree that I feel bad for them.
Cherish the memories you had of Freddie, and he did deliver. Absolutely. Atlanta Braves a World Series championship. So,
look, Freddie Freeman's last hit, a home run, his last play in the field, catching the ball at first base that won the Braves the World Series. So he did his job. Tip of the cap to him. And just cautiously optimistic of the future as we kind of gather our feelings and bring in this new era. Let's do it, guys.
Yeah.
Joe and I will be back with you next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Batter Up. For Joe Patrick, I'm Caleb Johnson. Have a good one.